Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life challenges and then to bring to you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what is happening around Good News Christian Ministries. This morning's program is sponsored by Doris Dane. Thank you, Doris, for partnering with us as we share Good News in the Morning. We really appreciate your partnership. I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners who are listening via the internet. We're really glad that you found us, and we trust that you will find this ministry an encouragement. This is Thanksgiving weekend in Canada. There's so much to be thankful for, and the Bible encourages us to be thankful. And giving thanks makes a difference. I read where two psychologists, Michael McClough from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, and Robert Emmons of the University of California, wrote an article about an experiment they conducted on gratitude and its impact on well-being. The study split several hundred people into three groups, and all the participants were asked to keep daily diaries. The first group kept a diary of the events that occurred during the day without being told specifically to write about either good or bad things. The second group was told to record their unpleasant experiences. The last group was instructed to make a daily list of things for which they were grateful. The result of the study indicated that daily gratitude exercises resulted in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy. In addition, those in the gratitude group experienced less depression and stress and were more likely to help others, experienced more exercise more regularly, and made greater progress towards achieving personal goals. But if you are like me, then there are times in your life where, well, you really don't feel thankful. If you're experiencing grief or depression or hardship or suffering, thankfulness is hard. Sometimes you have to look really hard to find something that you're thankful for. Maybe you're in one of those spots right now. If you're there, then you know it doesn't help for someone to come along and say, well, just be happy. But sometimes it's helpful for someone like me to come along and bring a fresh perspective on things to encourage thankfulness. When one is thankful, it presupposes that there is one whom one is thankful to. As a follower of Jesus, I am thankful to God for his goodness. But I'm especially thankful for a faith that's not based on trite sentiments or pat answers. I'm thankful we don't have to go around pretending to be other than we are. I'm thankful for a faith that speaks into the middle of reality. Sometimes reality is awesome, and sometimes life is just really brutal. But no matter what our circumstances are, there is something at the very core of the Christian faith that is worth giving thanks for. Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say it, rejoice." I know it may be obvious to you, but although there are many good things in our world is broken. It is broken in such a way that politicians can't fix it. They can make it better or worse, but they can't fix our world. It's broken in such a way that science can't fix it. Science has done some amazing things, and it will continue to discover more amazing things, but it can't fix our broken world. Science can make life better or sometimes worse, but it's not a fix-all. Our world is broken in such a way that education will not fix it. Education makes a huge difference. Education helps people step around many of the potholes of this life and expands our horizons, but education will not fix the world. The Bible teaches that the big issue in our world is death, and the reason why death is in our world is because of sin. And the impact of sin in our world is that we have a broken relationship with God. And it's not just physical death, it's spiritual death that really breaks this world. The sin in our lives and in the lives around us leads us to brokenness. It leads to broken hearts that have been pulled towards destructive things. It leads to brokenness in relationships, although all of us long to love and be loved. It leads to brokenness in how the world works, governments and business in our world, because of power and money often get distorted. All of these things contribute to brokenness in our own hearts and lives. And we want to be better than we are, but we end up doing things that we don't want to do. And our world is broken, and the brokenness stems out of sin in the human heart. You know, our greed, our lust, our pride, our jealousy, our envy, our rage, our gluttony, our need to be first, our egocentric lives cause hurt and devastation. And sin is never the will of God. God doesn't want us to sin. He hates the effect of sin. His whole character utterly abhors sin. He more than anyone else understands how things were created to be. His heart breaks over this broken, dysfunctional, sinful world. And yet he really loves us. And he hates to see us in so much pain. God is all-powerful and with a word could obliterate sin, but he knows to rip out sin in our world would be to destroy most of our world, because there is not much of our world, much of ourselves, that has been left untouched by sin. So what did God do? He sent his only Son into a world that has been washed over in pain and in suffering. Jesus stepped into the middle of the world and into the middle of our pain, and he came right to where we're at. Whether you're at a place in life where life is really good, or we're in a place where circumstances are challenging and life is hard, Jesus is a reason to give thanks, because he comes right into the middle of our lives. A way of helping us to visualize how Jesus comes into our pain is in a story called The Ragman. It was written by Walter Rangwin. We're going to hear that right after we listen to the music, Give Thanks to the Lord.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
his love endures forever.
For the life that's been reborn,
his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise.
Setting sun,
his love endures forever,
and by the grace of God we will carry on.
His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise.
Sing praise,
Here is the story entitled The Ragman. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Even before the dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Ah, the air was foul, and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags! New rags for old! I take your tired rags! Rags!" Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4", and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a ragman in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into her handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans, dead toys, and Pampers. "Give me your rags," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking, and yet was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing ragman like a child who cannot turn away from a mystery. "Rags, rags, new rags for old." In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops and I could see a shredded curtain hanging out black windows, the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty, blood soaked her bandage, a single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he traced his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on her, on hers, and I gasped at what I saw. For the bandage was wound, and against his brown it ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. And the wound on her was healed. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the skies and my eyes. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. The ragman pressed him, "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other, and he pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuffed into the pocket. He had no arm. So the ragman said, "Give me your jacket, and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the ragman. And I trembled at what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man, hunched, wizened, and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk, he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at his forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again. Exhausted, old, and sick, he went with terrible speed. On spider's leg, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, and until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in the man. I hurt to see his sorrow, and yet I needed to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits, and then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He laid down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket. And he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junk car and wailed and mourned as one who had no hope, because I had come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died, and I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and its night too? But on Sunday morning, I was awakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face, and I blinked, and I looked, and I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the ragman, folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow nor age, and all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, that lowered my head and trembled for all that I had seen. I myself walked up to the ragman and told him my name with shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. Then I took off my clothes in that place, and I said to him with dear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." And he dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The ragman, the Christ. Jesus stepped into the middle of our pain. He came right to where we were at. This Sunday is Thanksgiving. On it, we are especially aware of the fact that we are to give thanks, but there are times in this life when it's difficult and thanks is not natural. It's in those times where we remember Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. We remember who God is. We know that according to the Word of God, that God is good, and that he is faithful, and that he is strong, and that he is loving, and that he is compassionate, and that he's merciful, and that he's forgiving, and we believe it's true, but there are times when life creeps up on us and the harshness of life gets to us that it feels like those words are dry theology. Because the pain of our suffering and the volume of our questions and the deafening roar of our grief, our understanding of who God is gets muted. But when we remember that God did not stay distant, he didn't stand afar off. Even though the world was broken by sin and sin was repugnant to him, he did not back off. He was not indifferent. He came and lived in the middle of our suffering. He not only suffered, but he took our suffering upon himself. Real thanksgiving begins at the cross. That is the place where hope begins. It was as if we had lived our lives in the middle of a garbage dump. And we scrounged for a living, and our bodies were infected with sore because of the diseases we picked up in the garbage dump. But we didn't know any other way of life. We thought the whole world was made up of a garbage dump. But Jesus came into the middle of that garbage dump. He became one of us. He told us about a world outside the garbage dump. One with beautiful forests and pure water and lakes that were as smooth as glass. He told us of a life that we could hardly conceive of. Those who listened started and went on a journey with him. We had the vision of what was outside, and we followed him. And we could see the odd tree, and he would say to us, "Imagine a forest." And we would see the odd patch of grass, and he would say, "Think of the meadows." That is kind of where we're at. Jesus is leading, and we catch glimpses of what should be, but we're not there yet. We live in a broken world. If it were not for the cross, we could not catch a glimpse at all. But Jesus came to show us, yes, there's something better. There's something greater. The kingdom of God is now and not yet. We catch glimpses, but this life is not all that it should be, and it won't be until we get to heaven. But learning to be thankful for what we do have, learning to be thankful for what Jesus did, clarifies the vision for what is coming. There are some of you who are still living in the middle of that garbage dump, and you're wearing the old rags, and you're thinking, "Oh man, life is hard, and I can't see past myself, and I don't know what to do." I want you to know that Jesus is there with you. I want you to know that he comes to you right where you're at, and he says, I want to give you hope. I came into this world that was suffering because I want you to know that I know what it means to suffer. I came into this world that was hopeless because I wanted you to know hope. I came into this world where people were in despair and feeling unloved and uncared for, and I want you to know that I am compassionate and I am gracious, and I want you to know that there is real life. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Yeah, there are people, there are spiritual forces in this world that are out to steal and kill and destroy. But I want better for you. I want you to know that in this broken world that I've come to help you walk into wholeness. Will you trust me? Jesus said to as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. If you want to start the journey today, I would encourage you to do that just by opening up your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I want to follow you. A prayer like that has a way of moving us into that journey. And it may take a while, because as we journey, we just start to see little by little what God wants to do. But as our faith grows and as our vision expands, we start to see what God really wants. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are, how you came and you took our suffering, our pain upon yourself. And Lord, I thank you that that you know our lives well. My prayer is, Lord, that you would come, and for each person here who on this Thanksgiving is finding it difficult to be thankful, that you would just give them your hope, your peace, your life. Lord, as they reach out to you, may they grab a hold of all that is in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for listening this morning. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more than just hearing what God's doing in your life. So contact us by email or Twitter via the website. The website is www.goodnewsinthemorning.ca. You know, if you're from the Ottawa area, I want to encourage you to save the date of Saturday, November 14th. Good News in the Morning will be hosting a luncheon fundraising event, with the keynote speaker being CFRA's own John Council. It will be held at St. Timothy's Presbyterian Church on Alta Vista Drive. The event will start at noon, so mark the date on your calendar, November 14th. It's going to be a great event. And thank you for listening this morning. I especially want to say thank you to Doris Dane for sponsoring this program today. You have given us given a blessing to many, and we pray God's blessing on you. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help financially, we would appreciate it. You can send a check to Good News Christian Ministries at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. I want to put a challenge out to those of you who are listening outside of Canada. Would you consider logging onto our webpage and giving a $1 or a euro? The website is goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Our prayer for you is that may you know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out listening to this great Thanksgiving hymn, This Is My Father's World.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580